staff recognition.
This is Bill, Sandy.
If I get it wrong, let me know.
Sandy for the stack.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Here's my staff recognition, y'all. 41 years, we lost Larry Winters this last weekend, so just like to say 41 years was IGM, but no charge to the station. Last time we made a fund drive goal, we twice was under Larry, and his dedication to KPFT and Pacifica just needs to be recognized by us all, no matter what you think. 41 years and a lot of hard work.
Hello.
Thank you, Larry Winters. Rest in peace.
How are you doing, Sandy?
It's a process, like they say.
Yeah, it's a process.
And Bill for the stack.
Bill.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I also wanted to recognize Larry. Like Sandy was saying, he's been, you know, really dedicated volunteer at the station for decades, and he's brought in a lot of members, a lot of listeners and volunteers. He's helped other people learn how to do shows. He's also been really, you know, active in the community as, you know, his regular job as with has been for as a counselor for drug and alcohol addicts. And it's really made a difference in a lot of people's lives, and I've heard a lot of good things about that also. So we'll miss him. And if anybody's interested, there was a Houston Chronicle article yesterday about him, and his Facebook has a lot of remembrances people have posted, the Larry Winters Facebook.
I have a question, Paula.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the code to get in on the email that I received, the code starts with an asterisk, and then it has 406426 pound. So that asterisk is not appropriate, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do you need the pound also?
No.
Okay.
It's just a number, probably.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And
And
the number also has a one in front of it. Do you need to put that one in front of it? It's a 346 number.
Sure. You probably won't. I've never had to call those numbers, so I really don't know, but just try it without the one and see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, this is Sandra. You do the six numbers in pound. That's all.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
And thank I'd you. Like to Wally for the back stack. After Wally.
Wally.
Yes, thank you. I just want to share in talking about Larry Winters. He's, you know, such an important part of the station for so long, and he's always been very supportive of me and other public affairs shows. Some years ago, he put together a benefit for KPFT, and out of his pocket, he paid to bring a singer-songwriter to town. And he asked me to co-host it with him, and because he wanted us included. You know, he didn't want it to just be a music event. And a lot of people came out from both communities for it. And it shows the kind of person that he was and how he was, you know, so thoughtful. And he'll be greatly missed.
Bill, I do see that Deb Shafto is on the call. I don't know whether she knows how to unmute or so, but she is on the call. Oh, she's gone now.
Sandra.
Thank you. I too would like to chime in about Larry Jerry. He had a tough journey there at the end, but he's finally at peace. And I would like for everybody to focus on all the good that he did for the radio station and put their other thoughts aside for now. I did speak with someone who was with him when he passed, and they they assured me that he passed peacefully. And they were planning a...
Hi, this is Teresa. I saw that you were off.
Teresa, you need to mute.
No, that's inappropriate.
Teresa.
I've had enough of that. That is so rude.
The number...
Who is that? Teresa.
I'm sorry.
I'm muted.
Okay, go on. Finish what you were saying, Sandra.
They were planning a get-together up in Conroe in October, but he didn't make it for that. And so due to COVID and whatnot, they're thinking about doing something for everybody to attend, hopefully in the spring. I suggested maybe around his birthday, which is May the 10th. So, again, rest in peace, Larry Jerry. You will be missed. Thank you.
Who is they, Sandra?
Some of the programmers and some of his friends from the Conroe community.
Okay.
Mary Ann Prestek.
Go ahead.
Well, I just barely knew, you know.
Hello.
Hold on one second. Everybody mute your telephones. Mute whatever. Teresa, you're not muted. Because every time somebody starts talking, somebody else starts talking.
Thank you.
Teresa's muted. I muted her.
Mary Ann, go ahead.
I just want to say that, you know, I knew Larry as well and, you know, not all that well as some of the others, but I liked his program, and he'd been a Pacifican for many, many years, and he deserves some recognition, and God bless him, and may he rest in peace, and that's it.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mike Lewis for the stack.
Go ahead.
I'd like to do a salute to Larry Winters. Rest in peace. He always gave a lot of spare change to the prison show and our captive audience. And I still want to keep saluting him because he was always there for us.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is Teresa.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to say that the article in the Chronicle was very nice. I think we have to thank Dwayne Bradley for that and several other people that I don't know. And it is after 7, and there is someone that I know of that wants to make sure that she gets checked in. So I hope we'll call Roll.
Okay, we will when we get to Roll. Anybody else? Nobody else has a memorial for Larry?
I'd be glad to say how much I love this show.
Well, go ahead.
I love this show.
just so everybody knows, I believe Susan Darrow is planning a tribute to Larry this Saturday. Although I dedicated my show to Larry this Saturday, there'll be something of an expanded nature with musicians and Pacifica folks that were along the way with Larry, I hope, in October. So, thank you.
Sandy, what's her show?
She does Border Radio. She's on 6 p.m. Saturday evening.
Okay. All right, anybody else? All right, moving along.
Madam Chair, Adriana. I'm receiving texts from Nancy and from Dwayne Lark. They are saying that they cannot communicate. They are trying with the number, but they cannot communicate. Sorry. That is what I receive in a text. I'm just letting you know.
You said Nancy, who else?
Adriana, this is Nancy. I finally got through. I'm sorry. Thank you. I was calling the executive number.
Adriana, did you say somebody else?
Yes, Dwayne Lark.
Oh, Dwayne. Okay. I'm going to send this to Dwayne. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, for the roll. All right, Teresa Allen?
Present.
Teresa's here. Adriana Casanave?
Present.
Adriana is here. Bill is here. Lennon Foley?
Here.
Lennon's here. Bob Gartner?
Present.
Bob is here. Patrick White? Can't hear you, Patrick. Wally James?
Here.
Wally's here. Dwayne Lark? We're able to get on. Can't hear you. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Mike is here. Marianne Martinez?
Here.
Marianne is here. Paula Miller?
Here.
Paula is here. Susie Moreno?
Here.
Susie's here. Vinisha Patel Adams? Can't hear you, Vinisha. Sandra Rawline?
I'm here.
Sandra's here. Darrell Robbins?
Here.
Darrell is here. Nancy Sabara Nartomi? You're muted, Nancy. Heard you a minute ago.
Present.
Okay, thank you. Wendy Schrell? Can't hear you, Wendy. Deb Shafto?
Here.
Deb is here. Richard Giselle? Can't hear you, Richard. Rita Washington?
Present.
Rita's here. Sandy Weinman?
Present.
Sandy's here. Ted Weisskull? Ted, you're muted. I see you, but I can't hear you.
Here.
Ted's here. Thank you. Vanessa Williams?
Present.
Vanessa's here. Egberto Willis?
Here.
Egberto is here. Robert Franklin?
Present.
Okay, here. Thank you. Let me go back to people I missed. Let me know if you're here. Patrick Hoyt, Dwayne Lark, Vanessa Patel Adams, Wendy Schrell, Richard Giselle. Okay.
Bill.
No. Yes, Vanessa.
You send that to Dwayne.
Dwayne is in. Dwayne Lark is
here. Yeah, Dwayne was in because Rita Washington sent me the link. I did not get the link.
I was trying to send it to you.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious to know why I didn't get it in the first place. But
I've heard from several people that aren't getting emails sent to lsb@kpft.org, by the way. So
it looks like these were sent directly to email, not lsb.org. I mean, not kpft.org. If you look at each one of you, look at your link or your email, it seems to be your distinct email you received it through.
Well, it's a forwarding. It's lsb@kpft.org is supposed to forward to each of them. I didn't put everybody's individual email.
I get everything else. But did you put some people's individual email address in there?
Mary Ann's, because she's told me she's not getting it. And then Patrick told me this afternoon he's not getting it. And Deb's not getting it. So I don't know who else.
I normally get it, so I got it last.
Okay.
I just didn't get it this time. So I'm.
Who's in charge of that?
I don't know. Might ask Dr. Franklin. He probably needs to assign somebody to take care of the email addresses.
Well, who was in charge of it?
Bobby.
Oh.
Bobby Moded.
No,
but if it hasn't changed, it hasn't changed. That generally is set up each year at the beginning of the year. So nothing was supposed to be any different. And someone I've been getting it.
Someone needs to get with Mo or John and Mella and get it straightened out.
Thank you. Yeah. I will.
And Madam Chair, may I make a motion?
Can you send me Mo's information so I can get with him?
Yes.
Somebody.
I'll take care of that. Yeah, we'll do that offline. Thank you.
Deal with your motion.
At the last meeting, several people also had trouble calling in.
I know.
And also we didn't take excused absences. We didn't recognize people that came in late, unless they spoke up and said something. So I moved to excuse all absences from the last meeting. the special meeting we had, the executive session in August.
Anybody? Any discussion? Not hearing no discussion.
It's strange.
Is that telling me by consensus everybody?
No objection.
Although Teresa, your hand is up.
No objection.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
By consensus, everybody agrees with that?
Yes.
Yep.
Let me just reiterate once again, as a person who's on Zoom 5 days a week, technical issues come up. You may have put somebody in there, they can fly away. We have nobody monitoring this email address anymore since Bobby is no longer an employee of KPFT. So we need to find somebody to monitor what's going on and keep up with it. Simple science. Simple science, y'all. And Dr. Franklin is on the meeting tonight. He hears what's going on. So we'll address that at another time offline. Okay, moving along.
What's the chair?
Next? Yes.
On kpfdx.org, this meeting has been posted with a different passcode, meeting ID. I don't know why that happens. I mean,
one thing that I know for sure is that when every time you open up this email, the first set of numbers that are listed, it says executive committee. That's not the set of numbers you want. You need to keep on reading, and I have to do this myself until you see the general information. There's two sets of numbers on these emails about how to get in here. Like I said, I deal with technical difficulties every day, so it's no big deal to me. You just, okay, let's address this problem this moment and keep on moving. Because it's going to be another one later on the next day. Bill, what's the next thing on the agenda?
Okay, and by the way, I'm just checking in. What's posted on the KPFTX meeting calendar is the same information I emailed out to all of you for the Zoom meeting at least, so. I don't know, but you're right, Venetia. The KPFTX also automatically inserts Maestro call-in numbers, which we normally don't use unless we're having an executive session. Right. Okay, next item is excused absences for this meeting.
Okay, we're off for that. Moving on. There was no objection.
Okay, well, that was for the last meeting I was moving, but.
I thought you meant for both of these meetings.
Well, all I said was for the last meeting, but if somebody wants to excuse tonight's absences, that's...
Well, who's absent?
Patrick, Dwayne, oh no, Dwayne's here, sorry.
Dwayne,
Vinisha Patel Adams, Wendy, and Richard. So if you want, I'll move that we excuse all of them too.
I don't think that's correct. I mean, if they were there, they're there. And if they weren't there, they should be absent. I mean, why are we?
First of all, the meeting's not even over with you. So we don't know whether they're going to be absent or not. And what I was
doing, make a decision sometime.
It's really too soon to say that, but we are at the point of excused absences.
No, I was talking about the last meeting.
Well, we've already passed that, Nancy. We're moving on to this meeting. My suggestion is we wait to see who comes to the meeting. We'll deal with excused absences for this meeting at the next meeting.
Madam Chair, Adriana?
Yes, Adriana.
I have a problem with some of that. The bylaw said that the members that are present at the meeting are the ones that excuse or not the people. If we have people that don't ask for an excuse absence, we shouldn't be excusing people, like you said.
What?
And we cannot do it in the next meeting because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, in a way it does. I mean, if somebody's in a car accident, the first thing they're going to do is not call up somebody who's already in a meeting and tell them they can't get there.
That is being called a red herring. I'm sorry.
That's for what?
It's a red herring. That nobody's saying that if somebody is in an accident, we cannot do it. Nobody says so. What I'm saying, like a regular rule, we shouldn't do it.
Oh, well,
unless at something somebody's in the hospital. Obviously, when we know, we will do it.
Okay. Can we move on, please? The three people right now are absent. The meeting is not over with. We don't know whether they're coming or not.
Chair, I think what Adriana said is correct. I mean, why are we changing the rule for the last meeting to excuse everybody who was absent at the last meeting at this meeting? Because the rule says at the meeting you're decided present or absent, not at a past meeting. I mean, this is ridiculous. The people who missed the last meeting, they missed it. Why are we changing?
Duly noted. Duly noted. Moving along, it's 7:30. It's time for the general manager's report. Dr. Frank, welcome to your first official LSD meeting. And the floor is yours. You have till 8 o'clock, which includes your report and question and answer.
All right. I'll leave enough time for any questions or comments. With respect to technical difficulties, KPFT has had some recent signal problems, and I communicated with Mo, and he defined the problem as being something called, we're having a bad omina, O-M-N-I-A, which resulted in, he says, no MPX output going to the transmitter. He contacted our local contact, Steve Brightwell, and he asked Steve to go out to the transmitter to reboot the Omnia system on site at the transmitter. So that put us back on the air. We had been off for an extended period of time, but since Steve, in consultation with Mo, they resolved that particular problem presently. I've started to work with Dakota Sampson. He's our person who's doing the operations. He's doing the uploading of program. And he will look at the email issue that you just raised a few minutes ago. I'll have him to get with Mo. We'll try to figure out what the problem is in terms of, how it can be corrected. So I will give him an email after this meeting to get with Mo about the issue. Madam Chairman, if you could perhaps send me an email in terms of specifically so I can really concisely put together what is the issue so that I can give it to Dakota so he can articulate it to Mo so that we can make sure that it gets taken care of efficiently. Whatever is the language, I guess the email. Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Which email address are you using? GM at KPFT?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, which email are you using? GM at KPFT?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
So as I was saying, I am working to streamline the programming duties with Dakota Sampson so that when programmers are uploading their particular program, they're sending them to him and they're asking whatever questions or problems that they're having, they're directing it to him. So he's going to be our central contact person with respect to
Dr. Franklin. One second. Once again, somebody is not muted. Once again, somebody is not muted.
It's Bob.
I am listening to Dr. Franklin and I can barely hear him. All right, Dr. Franklin.
Okay. So I'm working with Dakota to streamline some of the programming objectives, situations at the station so that we have a central point of contact when programmers are querying, asking about programs, uploading their program. He's the person that's continuously monitoring all of our streams to ensure that we are, in fact, on air. And he has a direct line now to Mo to make sure that when we have, any technical difficulties, he's in contact with Mo as well as with John. So they are the, and as well as myself. So we're the points of contact in terms of if there's major issues occurring at the station. If they are transmitter related issues, then Mo will handle those directly. Mo can make transmission corrections remotely from wherever he is. If it requires on location remote type issues, he will then defer those transmitter related matters to Steve Brightwell. They have a great relationship that obviously was started when David was here and is continuing now. So when Mo can't get here to handle those remote issues, then Steve Brightwell, they have a good relationship set up that helps us expedite any matters that occur from a transmitter standpoint. So some of the other things that Dakota is doing and what I've asked him to do, as well as Markeisha, is to fold into my report some of the things that they are doing in their particular departments so that we can kind of get a fuller report, GM report. So with that being said, Dakota is handling daily recordings. He's uploading weather. He's uploaded the election PSAs and promos. He's uploading the daily national news. He's assisting with the weekly recordings, community calendar, and he's scheduling multiple shows. And he is, as I mentioned, KPFT's contact person with respect to programming matters, issues that get uploaded and so forth. So he's really literally been hitting the ground running for the last number of weeks that he's been here. Some of the other things that I've just started to do, I mentioned last night in the development committee, so this will be redundant to some of them who were there, but I've started to investigate, and we've moved forward with investigating external grant funding for KPFT. And just a couple of those particular foundations I'll mention briefly. We're looking at submitting a proposal to the Knight Foundation, and they have a broad topic that they're accepting proposals. The topic is combating disinformation in communities of color. So we're looking forward to putting together a proposal that's going to really take advantage of some of the outreach activities that some of our programs have been doing already. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. I think some of these programs have tremendous outreach potential. I think it'll be a good way, if we're funded, to really promote KPFT in terms of outreach. It's a good way to market what we're doing and also generate some seed money for our depleted budget situation. There's another foundation that we're looking at and pursuing. It's called Borealis. They are a national foundation. When we submitted a proposal in Alabama, we were a finalist. And the only reason I think we didn't get that particular grant was because they investigated before they even let us know that they were looking at us. They investigated our particular website because we submitted for newsroom support. And what they did, they went to our website page and they listened to our newscast and they looked at our webcast and they found our, not webcast, but our website, and they found that we were lacking in a lot of areas. So what they will do, they will scrupulously examine organizations when they are looking at funding them. So with that being said, some of the areas of interest that we're going to look at is the Racial Equity and Journalism Fund. That's one category that they have. They have the SPARC Justice Fund, which I think we could really look at promoting some of our execution watch and the prison show. That could be a good way to tie in ways in which we could seek funding to further promote those particular productions. They have another category, Communities Transforming Policing Fund, which is another area. There's another area called Emerging LGBTQ Leaders of Color Fund, which again are areas that we could look at submitting proposals for potential funding. And the last foundation that we're looking at submitting a proposal to is the Unitarian Universalist Association Fund for a Just Society. Again, seed money that will help us, if we're successful, to really promote some of the areas that the station has already been producing programming. Programs have been reaching to those particular communities. So I think it's a good opportunity for us to take advantage of some of the things that we're currently doing as we move forward to address other areas of the station. This is not all the areas that we'll be addressing, but just some of them right off the bat. I will stop there and hopefully entertain any questions that anyone might have regarding the few bullet points that I've made and any other type questions related to the station since my tenure.
Ted.
Well, Patrick on the call, by the way. Sorry, I'm late.
Ted.
Takes a second to unmute. Dr. Franklin, I posted in the chat a private question to you, but if you could read it and address it in whatever way you deem appropriate, I would appreciate it.
I don't see it. I don't see the private message. Let me see.
Go to where it says more. Yeah,
okay.
You see, okay. You go to more, and then you see chat.
I don't know. Yes. I'm ready to respond.
Wendy's on the call.
Huh?
I'm ready to address.
Oh, yeah. You got
okay.
I got Patrick and Wendy. Thanks.
I don't believe that, and I'll have to check this with Dakota. I don't believe that, the meetings are announced on the air, but I have to double check that with Dakota. But I know that's consistent with, FCC rules as well as CPB rules that, public meetings are to be announced. It should be announced somewhere on the website. So, if that is not the case, presently, I will move to make sure that gets taken care of post haste.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
This is Nancy.
Go ahead.
Okay. At the development meeting, Dr. Franklin, you were talking about some of these foundations will offer staffing funding. And so I was a little bit concerned. So I wish you would ask the IED, because there is a hiring freeze for replacement or for any kind of hire. Even if it's a replacement, and I hope that this does not conflict with that. And it needs to be, if we do that, it needs to be get the P&B approval before of any replacement or hire.
With respect to your query, I referenced the Ford Foundation and some of the larger foundations that do offer opportunities in the larger grants, in the $2 million, $3 million grant proposal. They offer temporary staffing stipends, not permanent types of positions. So we are not at this particular point in time seeking a Ford Foundation grant, but that is something that, of course, if we did undertake that, I would talk with and consult with the IED to see whether or not there would be any type of conflict with respect to the hiring freezes currently at Pacifica.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know, that's all. I don't see any problem, but that's just me. Thank you.
All right, anybody else?
Wendy, can I ask a question?
Adams.
Okay. Venetia, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Franklin, and I look forward to working with you. I apologize to everyone for my tardiness. So if this question is a repeat, I'm sorry. What's the plan with the schedule, I guess, is my question. Like our show, Indie Media Show, was removed for violations during the referendum and was supposed to be put back on, but never was put back on. Put back on the air, and there's a lot of other shows that were removed from FM, and I'm sure you are already aware of what happened with the previous general manager. So my question is just, what is your plans moving forward to fix that that mistake?
Well, I do plan to, and have been, as I mentioned last night, doing a critical listening review of the current programming schedule. What the previous manager did was his prerogative, or he chose to do. What I will do, what I'm doing and plan to continue to do, is to monitor programming and really just making mental notes of programming and looking at the grid, the present grid, looking at the previous grid, and then going from there, looking at ways in which the programming grid can be updated, added, or amended to the extent that is most successful for the mission and the goal of the station. I do know that I will be getting with Robin, and we're going to be having hopefully a meeting in which we can talk with all programmers about how we want to approach our upcoming fundraiser and future fundraisers in terms of setting goals, so that there's buy-in with all of our programs and that they will be part of helping us to achieve our fundraising goal with respect to, you know, the budgetary situation, because we're all a part of this station in terms of doing what we need to do to whatever degree possible to make us successful in the long run, long and short run. So I will be and have been really before I got here, looking at the program grid, listening to the station even more so presently, and will not make decisions in the dark, but let all programs communicate to all programmers in advance of what the plan moving forward will be. But it will be certainly a discussion with Robin before, you know, I have this particular general meeting or general conversation with the programs in terms of how we want to move forward as we look to meet our fundraising on air goals.
Wendy.
Hi, I'm still driving. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
We hear you.
Okay, sorry, I'm in my car. I hope I didn't miss this already. I mean, if I missed this, forgive me, but So as far as the, I think I'm the last person to find out that Larry Winters passed away last week, this last weekend, I think is when it was. Is there any, I looked at the KPFT website and I didn't see an announcement about that. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you know, if our new manager knows, but Larry was kind of like the, maybe the most well-known person at the radio station right now. I mean, that surely isn't right, but something like that. You know, he was a top fundraiser and kind of a loved guy. And so I'm hoping we can put up an announcement and maybe record a little thing that can play on the air to at least let people know that he's passed away. And, you know, I think it also would, and we kind of mentioned this yesterday, but I think it would probably spur some donations in his name as well, you know, in tribute to Larry. So, I mean, despite, you know, with a lot of people on this board probably don't like him, but it doesn't matter because for the radio station, you know, he's a huge star of the radio station. So that's all. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I
for the purpose of getting donations, but just for the purpose of recognizing him and letting his people know.
Yeah. I got an early morning call, I think, from Sammy, as he mentioned already previously, that he was doing a special and, on Larry. And I thought I'm sure it's going to be in good taste. I think in that type of, memoriam, looking at his music, the people who loved him, is certainly something that's already in the works. And I'm sure it'll be done in good taste. And I'm sure that other programmers will in their own way, you know, pay homage to him. Traditionally, what stations have done that I've been associated with, some of them give a moment of silence. They'll give like 60 seconds of just dead air, figuratively speaking, a moment of silence, you know, for
could
someone.
Also be an email to the list, you know.
As I was saying.
But yeah, okay. Good. Thank you.
Sure.
This right. Nancy.
Teresa.
Teresa's muted.
Well, I'm muted. I'm sorry. Dr. Franklin, you mentioned on the development meeting yesterday when I asked about live remote programming that we could possibly get live remote programming if we had a piece of equipment, which I think you said cost about $1,700. Is that the only thing that's keeping us from doing live remote programming? If so, maybe this board needs to get working on that.
Well, with respect to that particular unit, I asked Dakota after the meeting to contact Otis at Otis may be at WPFW in DC, and Otis sent me an email and said that he was going to be sending me a link that would provide more information about this particular piece of equipment that producers are using at his station that can be used in our station. It costs about, I think in his email he said about $1,700. Personally, I was going to purchase one for myself because, you know, I do productions myself. But as soon as I get the information, I will certainly share it with the board and see whether or not it's something that, you know, we might want to move forward with, especially if it's superior to what we're currently utilizing at the station. The selling point on this piece of equipment is that it sounds as though it sounds studio quality. And one of some of the program that I'm hearing on our station sound a bit canned, you know, absent of the spontaneity of a live production.
Nancy. Nancy.
Sorry, I was muted. Dr. Franklin, since the beginning of June,
there's no sound of Spanish language on our station. And I would like to say there's a historical fact that KPFT was the only Pacifica station that lost or did not get a 50,000 CPB bonus grant for minority listenership. And at that time, that was 2015, I think. So the way things are now after major programming changes this year in June, which means June, July, August, and part of September, these are much more drastic cuts than what was happening in 2015. So I just want you to know that that is worrisome because the country is moving more towards Hispanic population.
Thank you for that comment. And please know that that is certainly an observation that I took note of prior to once I planned to come here, and once I looked at the schedule, that is something, that programming void is something that I have looked at and have noticed, and certainly will add strongly toward my consideration in terms of looking at ways to replenish our programming schedule with Spanish language programming.
Thank you very much. And there is a programmer named Kay Reno, a black, I would say a philosopher, and his show was supposed to be moved to the HD, but at the last, just before the changes happened, it was moved back to the FM, and he did his show, and he said at the end of his show that he did not think it was right to suddenly move all these shows, to almost 20 shows, to the HD and not even have any real discussion about it, just saying, well, there were going to be changes, and then boom, all these changes. So he said it was not right. Okay. Afterwards, his show was also disappeared. And then you can see in the archives, three times his show has come on. It's an old show. It's the very same one talking about Shock G, who's also called Humpity Hum, who passed away. And I looked up online, and that guy, that Shock G, died in April. So I don't know why this very old show is coming on, and I don't know if Kay Reno is sending in new shows. I have no way to communicate with that programmer because I don't know his email. So I really think it was very rude. And also another show, Life in Focus, was moved to 1 a.m., and she kept sending in. Annelle Williams was sending in her show. She's a black programmer. And it wasn't even played. It just said the title of your show, Life in Focus. But if you clicked it or you were listening at 1 a.m. Monday morning, it was Blues and Hi-Fi, a three-hour music show. And I just think that's just so rude. And I don't think she was staying up late and didn't realize her show was replaced with a music show, although the title has her show. So it's just, it's almost like sneaky. I mean, really, and I don't know if there's any other really bad things happening that I noticed, because I do listen a lot to the station. Anyway, I wanted to tell you I'm glad you're here, and I trust that you will make things right. Thank you.
Darrell.
Thank you. I just wanted to say welcome, of course, and it's good to have someone who seems to have a good handle on what needed to be done right in the beginning. I just would like to ask my fellow board members to try and focus on what's already going forward and understand, at least trust that you're pretty, Dr. Franklin, I expect you're pretty aware of the past issues and problems, and I don't know that we need to take time reviewing or promoting. I've got a favorite program I could promote, and I've got things I'd like to say, but I'm not sure this is the best time to focus on that. I'd rather focus on moving forward right now, and I'm relieved that you have the technical support you need with the two fellows that you've mentioned. So my only question would be, have you had a chance to listen to some archives of old shows that were live in the studio with local and regional musicians or guest speakers, interviews like Wally's show and other ones, or fun drives when we were all in Pledge Central? Because talk about lively. I mean, when we have an opportunity to be together, we're pretty lively and we're talking to people that are on the phone and giving shout outs. I mean, it's a blast. We're kind of in mourning, and we've been in mourning, not only the whole COVID lockdown, but losing our building. And so, when you talk about arcane, I'm not sure that you understand or you're aware of how crazy and wonderful we've been before the lockdown.
Well, perhaps not crazy in here in Houston, but all of the other 11 places, stations and states that I've been in, I'm very familiar with that type of atmosphere. I've not had the privilege of listening to any of your archival programs, but I will do that. Okay. But I can sense that, with the loss of a beloved, colleague, announcer, friend, I too have been in that particular environment. I've had my colleague in Ohio, there was a general manager, a beloved general manager on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, a beloved general manager in Illinois, where we had to collectively come together and develop a degree of synergy from that particular person, looking at that person's life and then continuing to carry on that person's life in turn on the air, you know, out in the community. So there's a way that we can look at Larry's passing as something that could be galvanized, that could bring us together and really move forward and looking forward as opposed to looking backwards, looking forward to all the beautiful music and the lives that he touched through his music. And so that's ahead of us. It's just simply a matter of our taking advantage of it and looking at the positive things that's coming as a result of his passing and him being a part of our community.
Thank you.
Ted.
Thank you. Dr. Franklin, regarding our budget, I am planning on presenting a motion or an amendment later tonight to add to the budget up to $1,000 for Zoom. We are on a Zoom call right now. We're going to need to have a Zoom call for a town hall meeting that could involve lots of people. I want to know from you if you think the station will actively promote, because it's vitally important, I'm wondering if you believe it's vitally important, to engage the community via Zoom in a town hall meeting, and will you promote it actively? And do you believe that we need to have the funds in the budget to do this, or is there some other way that Zoom, the resource of Zoom will be taken care of? Is that clear?
I think town hall meetings are very important. When this occurs, won't be my first one. I've been involved in quite a few. I think it's certainly something, a town hall meeting is important, because it, again, gets viewers, listeners, the opportunity to, talk back, to administrators, station managers and board members and so forth. So it is something that, I have spoken to, PK about ways in which, we might be able to do a town hall, that would be interactive, whereby we could get the biggest bang for the limited buck.
there have been some possible, at least no one has discussed this with me, but I know that you may have even mentioned the Shake Center could be a possible location. It is something that once we do look at the logistics and look at how we would want to do it in the best way possible, it would be something that we would promote over the air, certainly, and perhaps look at ways in which we could maximize the broadcast of it, whether it would be live to tape and then editing if necessary and then rebroadcasting it. That could be a possibility. But it is something that I've been thinking of since I think you mentioned it the first meeting that I was in. So it is something that I'm looking at, and it is something that I'm planning to try to bring to fruition at some point, if not this year, certainly in the early spring.